May the Lord help us to commence our worship today by singing to God's praise hymn number 738. 738. Jesus, how heavenly is the place where thy dear people wait for thee, where the rich fountain of thy grace stands ever open, full and free. Hymn 738. We shall read two portions from the Holy Word of God. First of all, the book of Ruth, chapter 3, and afterwards the first book of Chronicles, chapter 22. The book of Ruth, chapter 3. Then Naomi, her mother-in-law, said unto her, My daughter, shall I not seek rest for thee, that it may be well with thee? And now is not Boaz of our kindred, with whose maidens thou wast? Behold, he winnoweth barley tonight in the threshing floor. Wash thyself therefore and anoint thee, and put thy raiment upon thee, and get thee down to the floor. But make not thyself known unto the man until he shall have done eating and drinking. And it shall be when he lieth down that thou shalt mark the place where he shall lie. And thou shalt go in and uncover his feet and lay thee down. And he will tell thee what thou shalt do. And she said unto her, All that thou sayest unto me I will do. And she went down unto the floor and did according to all that her mother-in-law bade her. And when Boaz had eaten and drunk, and his heart was merry, he went to lie down at the end of the heap of corn. And she came softly and uncovered his feet and laid her down. And it came to pass at midnight that the man was afraid and turned himself. And behold, a woman lay at his feet. And he said, Who art thou? And she answered, I am Ruth, thine handmaid. Spread therefore thy skirt over thine handmaid, for thou art a near kinsman. And he said, Blessed be thou of the Lord, my daughter, for thou hast showed more kindness in the latter end than at the beginning, inasmuch as thou followedst not young men, whether poor or rich. And now, my daughter, fear not, I will do to thee all that thou requirest, for all the city of my people doth know that thou art a virtuous woman. And now it is true that I am thy near kinsman. Howbeit, there is a kinsman nearer than I. Tarry this night, and it shall be in the morning, that if he will perform unto thee the part of a kinsman, well, let him do the kinsman's part. But if he will not do the part of a kinsman to thee, then will I do the part of a kinsman to thee, as the Lord liveth. Lie down until the morning. And she lay at his feet until the morning, and she rose up before one could know another. And he said, Let it not be known that a woman came into the floor. Also he said, Bring the veil that thou hast upon thee and hold it. And when she held it, he measured 6 measures of barley and laid it on her. And she went into the city. And when she came to her mother-in-law, she said, "Who art thou, my daughter?" And she told her all that the man had done to her. And she said, "These 6 measures of barley gave he me, for he said to me, 'Go not empty unto thy mother-in-law.'" Then said she, "Sit still, my daughter, until thou know how the matter will fall, for the man will not be in rest until he have finished the thing this day." And now we turn to the first book of Chronicles, chapter 22. First book of Chronicles, chapter 22. Then David said, "This is the house of the Lord God, and this is the altar of the burnt offering for Israel." And David commanded to gather together the strangers that were in the land of Israel. And he set masons to hew wrought stones to build the house of God. And David prepared iron in abundance for the nails, for the doors of the gates, and for the joinings, and brass in abundance without weight. Also cedar trees in abundance, for the Zidonians and they of Tyre brought much cedar wood to David. And David said, "Solomon, my son, is young and tender, and the house that is to be builded for the Lord must be exceeding magnificent of fame and of glory throughout all countries. I will therefore now make preparation for it." So David prepared abundantly before his death. Then he called for Solomon his son and charged him to build an house for the Lord God of Israel. And David said to Solomon, "My son, as for me, it was in my mind to build an house unto the name of the Lord my God. But the word of the Lord came to me, saying, 'Thou hast shed blood abundantly and hast made great wars. Thou shalt not build an house unto my name, because thou hast shed much blood upon the earth in my sight. Behold, a son shall be born to thee, who shall be a man of rest, and I will give him rest from all his enemies round about. For his name shall be Solomon, and I will give peace and quietness unto Israel in his days. He shall build an house for my name, and he shall be my son, and I will be his father. And I will establish the throne of his kingdom over Israel forever. Now, my son, the Lord be with thee, and prosper thou, and build the house of the Lord thy God, as he hath said of thee. Only the Lord give thee wisdom and understanding, and give thee charge concerning Israel, that thou mayest keep the law of the Lord thy God. Then shalt thou prosper, if thou takest heed to fulfill the statutes and judgments which the Lord charged Moses with concerning Israel. Be strong and of good courage, Dread not, nor be dismayed. Now behold, in my trouble I have prepared for the house of the Lord 100,000 talents of gold and 1,000 talents of silver and of brass and iron without weight, for it is in abundance. Timber also and stone have I prepared, and thou mayest add thereto. Moreover, there are workmen with thee in abundance, hewers and workers of stone and timber, and all manner of cunning men for every manner of work. Of the gold, the silver, and the brass, and the iron, there is no number. Arise therefore and be doing, and the Lord be with thee. David also commanded all the princes of Israel to help Solomon his son, saying, Is not the Lord your God with you? And hath he not given you rest on every side? For he hath given the inhabitants of the land into mine hand, and the land is subdued before the Lord and before his people. Now set your heart and your soul to seek the Lord your God. Arise therefore and build ye the sanctuary of the Lord God, to bring the ark of the covenant of the Lord and the holy vessels of God into the house that is to be built to the name of the Lord. Amen. May the Lord bless his holy word to us and help his servant to pray.
Most holy and eternal Lord God, oh, how we need thee, dear Lord, to grant to us now a breath of real prayer. Thou hast said men ought always to pray and not to faint. But, O Lord, how often when trials and troubles and afflictions come, how soon we faint. Do help us then now to seek thy face in prayer. May we not be left to just utter words, Lord, but oh, may the sincere longings go forth, Lord, from our hearts, and that we may be blessed with that real wrestling prayer that can wonders do and bring relief in deepest straits. Prayer can force a passage through iron bars and brazen gates. Oh, as we gather to worship thee on this thy holy day, we do pray for the divine influence of thy blessed Holy Spirit, that we may be as dear John on the Isle of Patmos and be in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and to worship thee, dear Lord, in spirit and in truth and in the beauty of holiness. And may we be favoured to feel and to know thy sweet presence, both in our hearts, Lord, and too within these walls, that we may lose sight of the things of time and of this wicked and perverse world and see no man save Jesus only. O Lord, as we venture to come to thee, do help us to come pleading the precious name and precious blood and glorious merits of the Lord Jesus. We pray for that sweet access at the throne of grace, that heavenly boldness to be given. And O Lord, how we need thee to convince us of our sin, then lead to Jesus' precious blood. Oh, do help us to come in real heart confession before thee of our many, many sins. For thou hast said, if ye confess your sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Oh, we pray, dear Lord, for that broken heart, that true penitent spirit. We may be weeping and mourning over our sin and after thee, and begging and pleading for mercy. And oh, how we need thee, dear Lord, to wash us and cleanse us in thy precious blood. May we have that sweet assurance from heaven thou didst suffer, bleed and die for us, that our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life, that thou hast chosen us, Lord, that we are thine, that thou art ours. Oh, do grant to us that real religion that's more than notion. If thou hast not already begun thy work in us, do begin from this good hour. May we not be left to just our chapel going or a name of religion, but oh, may we be given that heavenly diligence to make our calling and our election sure. We pray to be real in the vital things of God, that we may be taught wisdom's lessons well. We may ever be leaning upon our beloved, the dear Lord Jesus, that we may be found on that blessed rock, the sure foundation stone, the rock Christ Jesus. We pray thou wilt come, Lord, and meet the cases of thy dear people this day. Oh, do grant, Lord, answers to their prayers and longings and desires, and that thou wilt grant a token for good to those that truly seek one. And thou wilt reveal thyself, Lord, as our Saviour, our Redeemer, our all, and that we may know more and more of thy preciousness, dear Lord, and thy suitability, for thou art suited to every sinner's case. May those in need, whatever that need may be, dear Lord, have that need supplied. May faith be strengthened to believe thou wilt grant it. Do save us from all our unbelief, our doubts, Lord, our fears. And may we be as thou hast said in thy holy word to that dear soul of old, be not faithless, but believing. May we be true believers in Christ. And Lord, do bless the dear children and the dear young people. We pray thou wilt preserve them and keep them, watch over them. May they be brought to know thee in their souls, whom to know is life eternal in early days. And may the prayers of dear parents be heard and answered, and may there be those to follow on to know the Lord. No, Lord, do work, Lord, that there may be those that shall be raised up to be pillars in Zion in their day and generation. Lord, do remember the dear young people and all that concerns them. Help them to cast it all upon thee. And may they have that sweet assurance that thou carest for them. And do remember those in middle age, Lord, with all the burdens and concerns and exercises they carry. Do undertake for each one. May they see thy goodness passing before them in the way. Look upon those in affliction's pathway, Lord. We pray for healing and restoring mercies if it's thy holy will. And, O Lord, do sanctify these afflictions. May the very bitter in them be made sweet. May there be a blessing in it all, that thy dear people may be able to say, he was too wise to err and too good to be unkind. Comfort those that are bereaved, Lord, and many in Zion lost loved ones of late. We think too of those at Tunbridge Wells, Lord, with the great loss of a dear son, and we pray that thou wilt grant that upholding and strengthening grace. And may it please thee, dear Lord, to speak through these things, that the death of one may be the birth of many. And may we each be prepared, Lord, for that great day of death and a vast eternity. Oh, do come, Lord, and sweetly assure us that thou hast redeemed us, that we are thine, that thou art ours. And, O Lord, do remember those away at this time, and watch over them and keep them and preserve them, and may they be benefited by the change, and be brought back at the appointed time, refreshed and revived. And Lord, we pray that thou wilt bless this corner of thy vineyard. May there be an awakening of many in this village, if it's thy holy will, to come and fill the place. And may there be others constrained, Lord, to follow thee in thy sacred ordinances. Oh, do confirm thy word and thy work. Help the deacons, Lord, and give them all needed wisdom and grace. Bless the hymns they give out. May they see thy hand in them, that they may prove to be thy choice and not man's choice, and that the smile of heaven may rest upon the services as thy people gather both here and throughout Zion, especially remember our own flock and thy servant with them. Do grant him that anointing from heaven today. And Lord, we pray for each of thy servants, whether at home or abroad, that thou wilt grant them that help they need, that divine anointing from heaven. And may the word have free course and be glorified. And oh, we would bear before thee this guilty nation, Lord. Do turn us from our idols, our wickedness and sin. Oh, do put thy fear and grace in our king and queen and those in the royal family and in our prime minister and those in government, that they may turn to thee and look to thee for all the wisdom and guidance they need in all the affairs of this land. And may there be yet many brought to fear thee, Lord, and to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. We beg of thee to work and to remember those in persecuted lands and those in war. We think of those in Ukraine, Lord, and other places. Oh, we pray thou would hasten the hour when thou wilt grant deliverance. And oh, may all the enemies of the truth be put down. And may grace triumph and reign. And we would seek, Lord, for a heart to praise thee for all thy many mercies to us. And for delivering our dear granddaughter of a little daughter this morning. And we pray, Lord, thy rich blessing upon each of our children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren. And may they be raised up to be pillars in Zion, if it would please thee. And we would praise thee for all thy mercies to us in providence and in grace. Oh, for a heart to praise thy blessed name. And to anoint us to speak a few things in thy name this morning and throughout the day. May we be the Lord's messenger in the Lord's message. And may there be a true spirit of hearing. And empty send us not away. Forgive now what we've uttered amiss. Make up where we so fail. So we would fall into thy kind arms, sink or swim. You grant us that strength for this hour and this time of need. We ask it for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen.
Hymn number 915, 915. Why, O my soul, art thou dismayed? Why in these tents of sorrow groan? On what have thy fond hopes been stayed, still seeking rest, but finding none? Hymn 915.
seeking the Lord's help and your prayerful attention, I'll direct you to the book of Ruth, chapter 3, and verse 11. The book of Ruth, chapter 3, and verse 11. And now, my daughter, fear not, I will do to thee all that thou requirest, for all the city of my people doth know that thou art a virtuous woman. The book of Ruth, chapter 3, and verse 11. And now, my daughter, fear not, I will do to thee all that thou requirest, for the city of my people doth know that thou art a virtuous woman. The book of Ruth is a very sacred part of God's precious word, and has been made very precious to many of God's dear people through the generations. And the Lord gave dear Ruth a real religion. He was the author of it. He was to be the finisher of it. And if you and I are blessed with that religion that she was blessed with, then the blessings of eternal life and of heaven will be yours and mine in God's time. Now, the Lord moves in a mysterious way. We sing it, and dear Mr. Cowper knew it well in that beautiful 320th hymn. And Ruth was to experience it. The Lord wonderfully in his mercy had taken dear Naomi and Elimelech, her husband, down into Moab in a time of great famine. But you see, in it all, the Lord was to manifest his work. And by solemn searching things, by the death of Elimelech, and then the death of the two sons, Mahlon and Chilion, the Lord wonderfully brought Ruth into great concern, especially when Naomi said that she was to return to Bethlehem, Judah. And as she seeks to return, she puts her two daughter-in-laws to the test. Go back to thy gods and to thy people. You see, Moab in those days was very much like the world today, and this land full of idolatry and sin and wickedness. And Orpah went back to her gods and to her people. But dear Ruth was to cleave to Naomi. Naomi, let us remember, was a beautiful type of God's people and the church of God. And how sweetly the Lord has recorded the language of dear Ruth. And what did she say to Naomi? Entreat me not to leave thee, or to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go. Where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God my God. The Lord had put that longing and desire in her heart. And is it in yours? Is it in mine? I remember when I was in my early days, I used to look at some of the old saints in Stapylus Chapel, and I used to think, now they've got a real religion. May the Lord grant it to me. May I be like them and have what the Lord has blessed them with. And so in the providence of God, Naomi and Ruth return. And look how wonderfully the Lord went before dear Ruth, bringing her in to glean in the field of Boaz. Now, Boaz was a beautiful type of the dear Lord Jesus. And in that field of Boaz, she was to glean. It's a wonderful thing, you know. The Lord, even in 2023, has his gleaners. They glean in the Word of God. They glean in his house. They glean under the ministry. And in that field, the Lord was to wonderfully bless her. But the Lord was to lead her further. And in this third chapter, we find her being brought into the threshing floor. And of course, you will know that the threshing floor is a place of separation, where the wheat is separated from the chaff and from the straw. You're looking at it naturally. And that's often what the Lord will do with his dear people. There's much we need separating from. And you look in your heart, I look in mine. You know, the world can soon creep in us. We need separating from it. We need separating from the pleasures of this world. We need separating from natural religion and from those things that are just pleasing to the carnal mind. A place of separation. And in that threshing floor, she was to be brought to a wonderful place to lay at the feet of Boaz. Now remember what I said, Boaz was a beautiful type of the Lord Jesus. Do we desire to lay at his feet? You see the humility in this dear soul, Ruth, lying at the feet of Boaz. You know, Legion, the Mad Gadarene, was brought there to sit at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind. And he wanted to dwell there the rest of his days, didn't he? But the Lord said to him, go home to thy friends and tell what great things God hath done unto thee. It's a sweet place, you know, to be found at the feet of Jesus, like Ruth was at the feet of Boaz. A very humbling place. We sing in one of the hymns, and it's a beautiful language to my heart. and may we know more and more the reality of it, to be clinging to the Lord Jesus, nearer, nearer to him clinging. You know the reason why dear Mary Magdalene so loved him, where dear John, the dear apostle, so loved him, because they lived so closely to the Lord Jesus. Oh, they did. And this is where Ruth wanted to be, close to Boaz, you see, lying at his feet. And it was in this threshing floor that Boaz was to speak to Ruth. And those words of our text are what he said to her, amidst other things. But the Lord seemed to lay this upon me late last evening. And now, my daughter, fear not. I will do to thee all that thou requirest. Look how comprehensive what he speaks to her. It was really everything in it that she was going to need for the remainder of her life's journey. And I want to look as helped at it a little this morning. Well, let us go step by step through it. First of all, and now. The time had come, you see, for her to lay at his feet. The Lord has his set time. We read in the Word there's a set time to favour Zion. The time had come with her for him to speak to her and to give her this wonderful promise. And I want to look firstly at this time because it's so important, you see. What does the hymn writer say? A time he has set to heal up thy woes. A season most fit his love to disclose, until he is ready to show his goodwill, be patient and steady and wait on him still. Those wonderful nows in the Word of God. You see, with Ruth, it was now that he would speak to her. It was now he was to appear to her. To reveal himself. And now. But then, you may have wondered why we read in that first book of Chronicles 22, we read of David, had it laid in his heart to build the house of God. The Lord had put that desire in him, but the Lord had an appointed time for it. And Solomon, the Lord made it known to David, should build it. And in that 22nd chapter which we read, there's another wonderful now. The time had come and David gives Solomon the commission to build it. And it wasn't just the commission of David, it was the Lord's commission. And remember this word which I've named as a text was not just the word that Boaz was to speak to Ruth, it was the Lord speaking it. He was just the instrument. And what did we read in Chronicles chapter 22? Now, my son, the time had come, you see. The Lord be with thee, and prosper thou, and build the house of the Lord thy God. as he hath said of me. God's time. The time had come. But then you think of Saul of Tarsus, how the Lord wonderfully dealt with him on that Damascus road. It was God's time. And one of the words that the dear servant of God was to speak to him, Ananias, was this, another now. And now, after the Lord had so blessed him and revealed himself to him, and in the Acts of the Apostles, that beautiful word which the Lord had spoken to him through Ananias were these. The God of our fathers hath chosen thee, that thou shouldest know his will, and see that just one, and shouldest hear the voice of his mouth. For thou shalt be his witness unto all men of what thou hast seen and heard. And then listen. And now, why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. You see, the time had come for him to venture even in following the Lord in the sacred step of baptism. And the Lord's time had come in it. It's a wonderful thing, you know, to see the Lord's time. You read Ecclesiastes 3, a time to be born, a time to die. Now, and now, my daughter. Just one further now that I would name. And we think of the glorious birth of the Lord Jesus. You see, the dear prophets right the way through the Old Testament spoke of his glorious coming. The godly women all prayed that they might bear a man child, if it was the Lord's will, they might bring forth the precious Son of God. But there was appointed time when the Saviour should be born. And Simeon and Anna, they waited for that time, didn't they? And what did Simeon say when they brought in the Holy Child Jesus? Well, one of the things was this, because the Lord told Simeon that he would not die until he'd seen the Lord's Christ. And when they brought in the Holy Child Jesus, then took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, and now, the time had come, you see. And now, lettest thou thy servant depart in peace, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation. He could lay down and die, couldn't he? The Lord had completed his work. And now, there's an appointed time when each of us were born. There's an appointed time when we shall die. And it will not be man's time, it'll be the Lord's time, you see. We were favoured to hear this morning the birth of another great granddaughter to our granddaughter born this morning just after 3 o'clock. I thought, you know, it confirmed in many ways the text, and now the time had come, you see. According to man, it was 9 days late, but it was God's time, the Lord's time. But the same thing applies with death. I took the funeral of a dear soul at home on Friday, and because of a deep affliction, the hospital just gave her at most 5 days to live, and she lived 5 weeks afterwards. The time, you see, and now. And the time will come with you and with me when it'll be and now. Well, may we lay this to heart. But there's the blessed side to this. And it was with dear Ruth. And now, my daughter. He addresses her such as my daughter. The Lord, you see, has his sons and his daughters. We read that beautiful word, don't we? Wherefore come out from among them and be ye separate, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord God Almighty. But what seemed to so rest upon me regarding this, and now he claims her, my daughter. Does it greatly concern you and concern me this morning? Are we sons and daughters of the Lord? Because if we are to get to heaven, we must be among these sons and daughters. And here, as dear Boaz speaks this, and I don't want you just to think of Boaz, but think of the heavenly Boaz, the Lord Jesus, my daughter. Are there those that long this morning in the congregation here and in my own heart too for the Lord to say, my son or my daughter? I remember many years ago in my early days, I had a slight accident with my car, as men would say, and it really troubled me. Why has it come? Thankfully, I wasn't hurt or anything. The car wasn't badly damaged or anything. But it really troubled me, because in these things, you see, the Lord speaks. He's speaking all the time. And I said, Lord, why has it come? And you know, the Lord answered me. And I should never forget it. I was in the bullock yard. We were pulling straw around these bullocks. And the Lord said this to me, clear and audibly from heaven. My son, despise thou not the chastening of the Lord, neither faint when thou art rebuked of him. And you think of that this morning. You know, it melted me when he said, my son. It melts me today to think of it. The Lord claiming us, you see. We're not our own. The word of God declares, isn't it? Ye are not your own. Ye are bought with a price. The price, poor soul, and let us ever remember it, was his own heart's blood, the dear Redeemer. So here he says, my daughter. Is there a daughter here this morning, or a son that longs for you, the Lord to claim you as his? There's a beautiful couplet, isn't there, in the hymn, where it says this, come and claim us as thy portion, and let us lay claim to thee. and now my daughter. He came and claimed her. You know, if the Lord comes and claims you, poor soul, you'll be the happiest soul that walked this earth while you're under the blessing of it. But do we? Let us come right low to those that longed for him to say this. Are you praying, Lord, do come and claim us as thy child? Claim us that it'll be well when, while life endure, and well when we're called to die. It's only the Lord can put that desire in your poor heart. There's no doubt it was deep in Ruth's heart. And now, my daughter. And he may, the Lord's a sovereign, and I just want to tarry a moment on this, because the Lord's a sovereign. He may bring you into deep affliction. He may bring you into things that really try you. And in them, he's pleased to speak to you. Like I indicated just now, my son or my daughter. And I'll tell you what the effect will be. It'll just melt your heart. You'll say, Lord, why me? Why me? Why such a wretch as I, who must forever lie in hell, were not salvation free? You feel so unworthy of it, don't you? But then he goes further. And there's no doubt in Ruth's pathway and all she'd had to go through, there were many fears. Here in a foreign land, with dear Naomi, now in the thrashing floor of Boaz, fear not. Fear not. There may be those of you that come this morning. You look at the future, you look at the unknown way, and the things you have to walk through, the trials, the afflictions, the temptations, a roaring devil, and you're full of fear. Wherever you find the fear not in God's holy word, it was always spoken by the Lord to them that were full of fear, because they needed it. And here was a dear soul, trembling sinner. Fear not. Fear not. This is what the Lord was saying to them. And what will be the effect of it? It'll calm the troubled heart, you see, of the child of God. Oh, it will. When he says, fear not. He'll take away all those fears. The situation may be all the same. The affliction may be all the same as in the moments before he said it. But in your poor soul, there's this fear not from heaven. Calm in your troubled breast. You know, you can be in the midst of trouble, and yet when the Lord speaks such a word as this, inwardly, there's no fear, because the Lord's taken it all away. It's like the children, let me use an illustration or two from the Word of God. You think of the children of Israel at the Red Sea. They got much to make them afraid, didn't they, and being a fear. Pursued by Pharaoh and his army, before them the sea. No way of looking at it naturally of escape. full of fear. And what did the Lord say to Moses? Say unto the children of Israel, fear ye not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you today. For the Egyptians whom ye see today, ye shall see them again no more forever. And what was the Lord to do? And not only to calm their fears, but to make the way. Go before them. And look how he caused the sea to stand as a wall on the right hand and a wall on the left. I've often said, and we're saying again, the Lord overruled the law of gravity to deliver them. No man could do it. There's no man could cause the sea to stand as a wall, but the Lord did. And the children of Israel went through on dry land, but they needed that fear not, you see. Now, are you in need of it this morning? Fear not. You think of that beautiful word in Isaiah 43. Now the church of God was full of fear then. Many things to burden them and exercise them. And what did the Lord say to them? Fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name. Thou art mine. You see how it dovetails with my daughter. He claims her like the Lord claimed his dear people in Isaiah 43. For thou art mine. Fear not. All things are in his hand, you see. All events at his command. Now, my daughter, fear not. And there are so many blessed records, aren't there, in the Word of God, where he speaks that fear not, like he did to Jairus when the message came from those from the house to say that his daughter was dead. And what did the Lord Jesus say? To calm the poor man's heart. Fear not. Believe only, and she shall be made whole. And you look how the Saviour raised her from the dead. And now, my daughter, it's a personal word. You say, I know the devil will say to you, oh, but that was a personal word for Ruth. But you know the Lord speaks it through to his dear child. Even in 2023, if the Lord applies this to your poor heart, it'll be everything that you'll need. And now, my daughter, fear not. Why has she not got a fear? There's no doubt she looked at the future, the unknown way. But here he settles her. Peter speaks about that, doesn't he? When the Lord gives grace, how he settles his dear people. And what does he say to her? I will do to thee all that thou requirest. Now the Lord knows in your poor heart this morning, and mine, and in your pathway, all that you require. And whether it be in providence, whether it be in your family, whether it be in your never dying soul, whether it be concerning the future, the pathway, the unknown way, I will do to thee all that thou requirest. Whatever the child of God requires is to be found in the Lord. You think of the characters, just briefly, that came to the dear Redeemer. The blind men, the lepers, those in deep affliction, those that had their loved ones dead. And you look how he did all that they required. He gave the blind the sight. He raised the dead to life. He supplied the need of those that were needy. Think of when the 5,000 have nothing to eat. He said to the disciples, didn't he? How many loaves have you? 5 loaves and 2 fishes. The disciples said, well, this is not enough for this great multitude of people. But you look in the Lord's hand, there was everything that they required. And they gathered up of the fragments that remained 12 basketfuls. Is anything too hard for the Lord? All that thou requires. That's why I say it's so comprehensive, this word is. All that thou requires. You think of what the Apostle Paul said to the Philippians in that 4th chapter. That beautiful promise, but my God, and he could speak it from experience, he could speak it because he'd proved it, but my God shall supply all your need, not some of it. The devil will say, oh, but he'll supply this, but he won't supply something else. You can face the devil with that all. And tell him the Lord said all that they need. My God shall supply all your need. He didn't say your needs. All your need. What you need. There's many things we say we need that are not necessary. But all your need. Not all our wants. You often, when we have children, when they're young, you take them in a shop and you often hear them say, Mummy, I want this, I want something else. But do they need it? And the Lord knows what we need. Oh, he does. Before we even ask or even think. So he says to dear Ruth, I will do to thee all that thou needest. And when the Lord speaks that to you, poor soul, he will fulfill it in every jot and tittle. Oh, he will. Let me just briefly use an illustration or two. Firstly, go back to Abraham when he was to offer up Isaac. There was the wood, there everything, but what about the sacrifice? What did the dear Abraham say? God will provide himself with a lamb. And you look how immediately there was set before him that ram caught in the thicket, a beautiful type of the dear Lord Jesus. And that ram was to be offered in the place of Isaac. And so was the dear Lord Jesus offered in the room, place and stead of his dear people, bearing all their sins away. He alone can provide. It's a beautiful word in that hymn, isn't it? The Lord will provide. Some of us can look back and see how he's provided in circumstances that looked impossible. And he has provided. I will do to thee. You see how personal it is. To thee. May there be one. May be one here this morning. What needs this? I will do to thee. What wonderful thing of it's all of us. All that thou requirest. for time and for eternity. And then he closes it with that beautiful word, for all the city of my people doth know that thou art a virtuous woman. You know, the virtues of God's grace shone in Ruth. The virtues of divine blessings shone in her. It was seen by those in the gate of the city that she was a virtuous woman. The child of God will be blessed with this heavenly virtue of his sweet presence, his divine blessing, a precious Christ in them, the hope of glory, the real hunger for the truth as it is in Jesus, the virtues of his grace shone forth in dear Ruth, and may they shine forth in us. But I must leave it because of the time. Well, if nothing this morning, may the Holy Spirit sweetly apply this text to us. One needs it personally. There may be those of you that need it, why the Lord's given it to me to bring before you. And now, don't forget the time. Secondly, my daughter, how he claimed her. Thirdly, to calm all her fears, fear not. I will do to thee all that thou requirest, for all the city of my people doth know that thou art a virtuous woman. Well, may the Lord bless the word, and he must have all the glory. Amen.
God willing, there'll be a prayer meeting tomorrow evening with an address by Mr. Field. And Mr. Graham Hadley is engaged to preach on Friday evening, and Mr. Brian Izzard will preach for us next Lord's Day, God willing. Our closing hymn is number 236. 236. Faith's a convincing proof, a substance sound and sure, that keeps the soul secured enough, but makes it not secure. Hymn 236.
Dear Lord, do forgive now anything thy pure eyes have seen amiss. Do bless thy own word. May we not leave it all on the chapel doorstep. May it not be a little that abides in our hearts. Be with us now and through the interim. Come up with us again this evening if it would please thee. May the grace of the dear Lord Jesus, the love of God the Father, and the sweet communion and fellowship of the blessed Holy Spirit, the divine Comforter, rest and remain with us each now and forevermore. Amen.